The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
It is written, Lashkikom Meteresecho, Lahamiram Mechukeresonecho. That the Greek Empire came to cause us to forget Torah, to forget your Torah, and to direct us away from your statutes. In the Alanisim and Purim, it states Lahashmi, Lahare, Gola Abed, Eskola Yehudi. There, the enemy rose up not to cause us to forget your Torah, and not to misdirect us from your statutes, but rather lahashmid ulhareg ulabed, to physically destroy us. One question is why was there such a difference in the motives of the enemies? Second question, we are told that the Greek Empire came, the Timu Esahechel, and they caused impurities to our Beis Hamikdash. By the other empires, it states Vesorach Esahechel. Not that they caused impurities, but they physically destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. They burnt it down. Another question. The miracle of Hanukkah showed itself in the menorah. Why was the menorah chosen to be the place of the miracle of Hanukkah? And a fourth question. The menorah is in the Beis Hamikdash, and it has seven branches, the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. The menorah of Hanukkah lasted for 8 days. We light 8 candles. At least according to the basic halacha, so it's sufficient if we light one candle every night. But the Gemara says that it's better to light one candle for each night, which would be 8 candles for the 8th night. So we see that this represents a figure of 8. While the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash itself, in which the miracle took place, is represented only by 7 candles. Let's try to explain the answers to these questions this evening. First, some background on what took place. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, my Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? The Tana Rabbonin, the rabbis teach. On the 25th of Kislev, there begins 8 days of Hanukkah. These are days in which we are not allowed to say eulogies and we're not allowed to fast in them. When the Greeks, this took place during the time of the Greek Empire, when they entered into the Hechel. Now the Hechel is the inner chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not the most inner chamber. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Hechel is the Kodesh. It's an inner chamber of the Beis Hamikdash, and that's where the menorah is. Timu kol hashmonim shebehechel. They caused impurities. Excuse me. Maybe let just turn. Shikshenichnesu yavanim lehechel. When the Greeks came into the inner parts of the Beis Hamikdash, Timu kol hashmonim shebehechel, they caused impurity to all of the oils of the hechel. Ukeshegovru malchus beis hashmonoi, and when the kingship of the hashmonoim, this was the family of Kahanim, became stronger, unetzochum, and they conquered them, botku, they went to search for oil, v'leimotzo elapach echot shel shem. and they only found one small flask of oil, which was sealed with the seal of the high priest, and there was only enough to last for one day. A miracle took place, and they lit the menorah from this flask for 8 days. And the next year, this was established to be for 8 days of Yomim Tevim, to say praises and thanks to the Almighty. The Rambam elaborates a little more. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah Perek Gimel, during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the empire of Yavon, the Greek empire, made decrees on Yisrael, and they eradicated from Klal Yisrael. They didn't allow them to fulfill their mitzvahs, and they didn't allow them to study Torah, and they stretched out their hands to take their money and their daughters, and they went into the Heichel, and they committed all kinds of profanities, and they became a great sorrow to Israel, a great lachatz, great affliction, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonus, and he saved us from their hands. And the Bnei Chashmonei HaKohanim HaGdelim, the Chashmonoim, who were the Kohanim Gdolim, became strong. They were given strength, and they killed them, and they saved Klal Yisrael. And they crowned a new king for Yisrael from the Kohanim, the Chozru Malchus Yisrael Yesra Mosaim Shonim. And the kingship returned to Yisrael for over 200 years during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, until that Beis Hamikdash was destroyed later, 200 years later, by the Roman Empire. And then the Rambam tells about the Nes, the miracle of the oil. It lasted for 8 days until they were able to grind olives again and bring new oil. And because of this, the sages enacted that for 8 days, beginning on the 25th of Kislev, there should be days of Simcha and Halal, and we light candles on the houses, on the doorways of the houses, every night of these nights, Laharish Ulegalis Anes, in order to show everyone the miracle that took place. And this is a mitzvah from the sages. Now we see from here that the Oyev, the enemy, was the Greek Empire. And the Greek Empire, this took place before the Common Era. And the Greek Empire at that time was the prevailing power of the world. And it was an enormous miracle that the Chashmonoim, Matishohu, and his five sons, Yehuda, were able to overthrow this great empire and drive them out of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Gimel, the Medrash says that there are to be four empires which will rule the world. Excuse me, it's Perek Beis Os Dalet. Reb Shimon Ben Lokish Posuk Ro B'Malchies. Reb Shimon Ben Lokish says that this posuk is referring to the kingdoms. Some have a different text, Golias, the exiles, but it means the same. The Torah states, V'oretz hoiso tohu v'vohu, that when the Almighty created the world, there was tohu, tohu, there was an emptiness, vohu, there was a total confusion, cheshech, there was darkness, and there was tahom. The cheshech al pnei tahom, endless depths. This was at the beginning of the world. And the Medrash darshans that we see from here that there were four imperfections in the creation of the world. And each imperfection would manifest itself in an empire that would rule the world. For Odetsoy Satohu, Zebovel.
the land, there was an emptiness. This refers to Babel, Babylonia, as it states, Re'isya Sa'aretz V'hinei Tohu. Vavohu, and there was a confusion. This refers to Modai. Modai is the Persian Syrian Empire, which after the Babylonian Empire destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and we went into the exile of Babel, of Babylonia, then rose up the Syrian Persian Empire, and they destroyed the Babylonians, and we went into exile by them, and that was the story of Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Ahasuerus. As it states, Vayavilu lo'avias Haman, v'cheshech, darkness zegolus Yovan. This refers to the kingdom and the exile of Yovan, of the Greeks. History tells us that the Persian Syrian Empire eventually succumbed to Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire. And that's when the Greeks, later on, after the time of Alexander, later on went and invaded Israel and marched up against the Beis HaMikdash. And this is referred to as in the Torah as Choshech, darkness. This refers to the Greek Empire, Shehechshicho Einehem Shel Yisrael B'Gzeiresehem, who made the eyes of Yisrael dark with their decrees. Shehechshicho Meres Lehem Kisvel Akeren Ashor Shein Lochem Chelek B'Lekei Yisrael. They told Yisrael, go right on the horn of the bull, that you have no place, no portion in the God of Israel. What did they refer to? They were referring to the Egel Azov, the golden calf. That this, that you are the chosen nation, you've lost this. Go write it on the horn of the calf. And then, Al Pnei Tahom, darkness refers to Golus Mamleches Edom. This refers to the Empire of Edom, that's the Roman Empire, because eventually the Greek Empire succumbed to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire rose up against Klal Yisrael to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. And why are they considered depth? Because just like the depth has no end, is endless, so is the wickedness, the evilness of this empire has no endless. Then it states, V'ruach Elokim Merachefes Apnei Hamoyim, the Spirit of Hashem hovered over the waters. This refers to the Ruche Shel Melech HaMashiach. This refers to the Mashiach, the King of Israel, which will rise up at the end of days. And he will come, B'schus HaMayim, he will come with the schus of water. This refers to tshuva, to repentance, which is compared to water. The Maral Miprag explains for us what is meant by this. And he says as follows. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world perfect. And he created the entire world in order that it should be a tribute and an honor to him. As it states in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Omer Aleph, Kol Ma Shebora HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lo Yibora Ele Lichveide Boro. Everything that the Almighty created, he created for his honor. And in Yeshayahu Mem Gimel Zayin, HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, Kol Anikro Bishmi Ulechveidi Barosiv Yotzativ Afasisiv. Everything that I created in the world sings praises to me. It is all a tribute to me. It's a perfect world. The central and main praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the world is Israel. As it states in Yeshayahu, Mem Gimel Chof Aleph, Amzu Yotzarti Li Tihilasi Yisaperu. Hashem says, I have created this nation and they shall tell of my praises. And this is why Israel is known as Goyechot Bo'oretz, a single nation in the land, because they sing the praises for the Melech Echot, for the one king. And how do they do this? They do this with this Torah, with their mitzvahs, with their tefillahs, with their prayers. The fact that they alone accepted the Torah, the other nations didn't want it. And they said, Nasev and Ishma, that we will accept without any conditions, unconditionally. And we will do whatever you say. We will subject ourselves to all of your commands. This is the greatest praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why it states in the Medrash, Breishis Bore Elkim Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he had this in mind, that there will be a nation by the name of Israel that will accept his Torah, and they will lead in the tributes to him. Now, the way it was supposed to be is the entire world was supposed to praise the Almighty, and all of the nations were to help Klal Yisrael praise the Almighty. But because the world is imperfect, not because of the Almighty, but because of people, so therefore there were many great powers and forces in the world that were not happy with the situation. That Klal Yisrael would be Bereish, they would be leaders, and they should follow Yisrael to praise Hashem. So therefore, one after the other, they rise up and try to take the kingship away from Yisrael and try to steal it from him. First came Babel. Instead of helping Klal Yisrael, they rose up against Yisrael and they destroyed their Beis HaMikdash and they drove them into exile. Then came Poras u'Modai. They exiled Yisrael. This was the time of the decrees of Haman, Lahashmi the Harei Garabe, where they wanted to totally destroy Yisrael. And then came Yavon, Kishenichnaso Yavonim Lahechel, the Greek Empire. That's the story of Hanukkah. And then came Edom, Esav, who rose up and destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash some 2,000 years ago. And we are still in the Roman exile. V'ruach Hashem rachefes al pnei amoyim. The rightful kingship will be returned to Klal Yisrael in the time of the Mashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, the descendant of David, he will come and he will annihilate these empires. And the crown will be returned to him. B'shus ha-tshuva, b'shus that Yisrael will do tshuva. And then again, the world will sing its praises to Hashem, and Hashem will be echod. He will be one. And that's why it states, V'hoye b'yom ahu yi Hashem echod, ushbei echod. Only then will he be one. But until then, he will not be recognized as the king of the entire world because of these other forces. So these were the four major forces in the world, and they showed themselves right at the creation of the world. Now these four forces represent the human being. There are three parts to the person. There's his physical body, the guf. There's the nefesh. The nefesh is the life in which is imbued in the physical body. And that's the dam, the blood, and the heart. And from here comes all of the emotions of the person. Then there's the seichel, the intellect, the mentality of the person. And then there is man in his entirety. If you put all three together, you have man in totality. Now the Torah tells us in Sefer Daniel, in Beis Lamed Ches, and in Perek Zayin, that Daniel had a dream. He had a prophecy. And he saw Arba ruchei shemaya magichin liyom arabo. He saw four great winds come out of the sea. The arba chiyun ravervin salkid min yomen shnin do min do. And the winds were blowing into land four monsters, each one ferocious and each one different than the other. And then he goes on to explain them in detail in these two prophecies. And the sages tell us that his prophecy was these four empires. The first one that he saw was Babel. And when he saw Babel, he saw it in the image of an Arye, of a lion. Kadmi saw ke Arye, vigapin di neshalo, and it had wings of an eagle. Velavav emish yohivlo, and he also saw it in the image of gold. Now, Babel represents the Nefesh HaOdom, the part of man of which is the life aspect of man. The Nefesh of the Odom is the strongest motivating force of the person. This is what propels the person. And this comes from the heart. And the sages say that the heart is the king is always compared to the lave, to the heart. The king of a nation is the heart of the nation. And just as the heart motivates the person, so does the king motivate the nation. And this was Babel. And the Torah tells us Babel Reishis Mamlachte. He was the first king, the first empire. And this is why he was symbolized as an Arye, as a lion. Because it's the nature of the lion, Shereitz Limle, he wants to rule. And therefore, Babel was the first to stand up against Klal Yisrael and to try to take the Malchus from them because he wanted to rule. And they had wings of an eagle. This was the sign of Gavos. The eagle flies higher than any other creature. And the king wants to be greater than any other person. And he saw him in an image of gold, because gold represents not so much as wealth, but gold represents Hashivas royalty, aristocracy. Gold is for a king. Therefore he saw him in the image of gold. Then he saw a second monster. And this monster, Orechai Achrei Tanino Damile Dov. This monster looked like a bear. And he said, Kumi Achle Bosa Sagyo. And this monster was saying, let us go and eat and consume a great masses of meat. And he saw him in the image of silver. And this, the sages tell us, represent Modai Uparas, the Syrian-Persian Empire. The Gemara says that they resembled bears. What is the nature of a bear? A bear is an animal which is very, very physical. And they resemble the physical aspect of man. A bear is an animal that constantly eats, constantly consumes, constantly wants more. And this is the physical aspect of man. Constantly wants more, never satisfied. A bear, the Gemara tells us, is Eila Manucha. If you'll ever see pictures of bears, he's always pacing back and forth, moving around. He has no manucha, he has no rest. Always trying to seek more. The fact that he has no rest, this is a sign he's never satisfied. And this is the aspect of the physical part of man. And he saw this image in silver. Silver represents money, kesef. Silver represents Asia, wealth. And this was the nature of this nation. And Ayiv Kesef Leizba Kesef. When it comes to wealth, physical wealth, material wealth, no matter how much one has, the Gemara says, you'll never be satisfied. If you have 100, you'll want 200. If you have 200, you'll want 400. We find that in the story of Purim, Haman, in order to induce Ahasuerus to destroy the nation, he offered him money because he understood Ahasuerus. He said that if you'll give me the right to kill this nation, Aseres Kiker Elef Kesef, 10,000 pieces of silver I'll bring into your treasury halls. He understood this nation. And it's for this reason that this nation was entirely physical. They were directly opposed to the physical aspect of Yisrael. Therefore, the decree of Haman was Lahashmid Lahareg Lahabed Eskola Yehudim, to physically annihilate, destroy every Jew. Then he saw a third monster. The third one he saw was Kinomar. It was like a leopard. Velo Gatfin Arbo, the oaf, Al Gabe. And it had four wings on his back. The Arba Roshin, and it had four heads. The Shulten Yoivle, and it was a kingdom. And this, the sages say, illustrated Yovan, the Greek Empire. We'll explain in a minute what that meant. And then the fourth one was another monster. And this one, and the Greek Empire, this monster that he saw, that represented this third one, he saw in the Choshes in Kapur. The fourth one, he saw Takifu Yesero. It had an unusual strength. Mishanyun Minkol Chayoso Di Kamoa. And it was different than all of the others. And this was Edom. This was Esav. And he saw that he was destructive. He was destroying everything in his path. And he was made of iron. And this was representative of Al-Harba Chotichya, the sword of Esav. So these were the four empires. This evening in particular, we're concerned with the third empire, the Greeks. He saw the Greek Empire as a leopard. The leopard, the sages tell us, is the quality of Azus. Havi Az Kinomer. Azus means a strength, and a particular type of strength. It means a strength which is unflinching. A tremendous amount of courage, brazenness, unflinching strength, always ready to go forward and to charge, fearlessness. This is the quality of the leopard. The sages tell us that Yovan was blessed with an enormous amount of wisdom. A wisdom which surpasses by far all of the other nations of the world. And for wisdom, one must possess an Azus, this type of strength. The Mishnah in Masechta Avos tells us in Perek Beis Mishnah Hei, Lehabayshon Lehmeid, that he who is ashamed will not be able to study. He will not acquire wisdom. Now the simple sense is, means that because he's ashamed, he'll be afraid to ask. If you don't ask, you don't learn. But this is something which is simple. Everyone knows that. And we don't need the sages to tell us this. Sages mean something far deeper. They mean that a person who has a nature of being ashamed, of being embarrassed, who is shy, will not acquire chokhmah. He will not acquire wisdom. Because to acquire wisdom, you need azus. You need this fearlessness. And shyness is the total antithesis to fearlessness. And why is that? Let's analyze what is wisdom. Wisdom is total objectivity. To come, the quest for the uncompromising truth. Total objectivity. No matter what that might be. Not to be swayed and not to be influenced by any external force. The Torah tells us that when a judge sits on the bench in order to give forth judgments in Torah, it states, Lo yagurim ibnei ish. He is not allowed to have fear for any man, from any man. Because that fear will distort the perfect justice, the perfect wisdom. It states that he is not allowed to accept money from any man. Because acceptance of gifts from anyone will distort and blind the eyes of total truth and wisdom. It states, Eberachmin Bedin. He is not allowed to show compassion in the exercise of total truth. Because compassion also will distort the truth. Los Hadir Pnei Dal. He's not allowed to favor the poor. Or he's not allowed to favor the rich. Wisdom is a quest for total truth, not to the right or to the left. Total objectivity. Shyness, that's someone who withdraws because of influences which fall upon him. Because of pressures, he withdraws. A shyness or a shamefulness or a bashfulness. This is because of external influences that overcome him. So how can a Baishan Lemet, how can a person who's shy and who's always withdrawing come to truth, come to wisdom? Therefore, the quality that one needs for wisdom is azus. See, that's a courage, a strength which is unbending, and he is fearless. He will always go forward, no matter what the consequences are, to seek the ultimate truth. Now, this is a quality of the Seichel. This empire, Yovan, they represented the Seichel, the intellect, the mind of the human being. And this is the quality of the mind. The quality of the body is that which constantly comes under other influences. We are constantly influenced by emotion, by appetite, by compassion, by ulterior motivations. by subjectivities. See? That's the body. But the mind, if it can detach itself from the body, if it can rise above the influences of the body, then it will find a total wisdom. And therefore, that since this nation was to represent the wisdom of the world, Daniel saw it in the image of a nomer, of a leopard. The leopard has this azus where he charges forward no matter what the consequences might be, and he doesn't deviate from course, and he never withdraws. This wisdom, this is not a physical attribute, and therefore it has to separate itself from the body. Now, actually, the Torah, which is the greatest of all wisdoms and the mother of all wisdoms, also has this attribute. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Beitza on Chofei Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Bipnei ma nitna Torah liYisrael." Why was Torah given to Israel? Because both Torah and Israel have these attributes. Shehein Azim. Tanda de Beit Bishmul Miyamina Esh Das Lomai. Torah is compared to a fire. There is nothing which is more az, which is stronger than a fire. A fire doesn't turn from one way to the other. A fire goes forward, and no matter what's in its path, it will still go forward. And Torah is called a fire. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ru'in Halolu Shetinosein Lohem Das Esh. Klal Yisrael are Azin Shebu'umesh. Yisrael have this quality, and the Torah has this quality, and therefore Torah was given to them. And therefore, this nation the Greek Empire, Daniel saw as a leopard, and he also saw them in copper. And copper, the sages tell us, is the toughest of all metals. Actually, copper is when you need something that's going to be under pressure of, for example, water for a long time, we use copper. When the Torah wants to describe that a person is someone who's very brazen, so it describes him as Metzach Nechoshes. He has a forehead of copper. This means he has no shame in him. He never withdraws. He saw also that they had four wings, this monster. What did that represent? Four wings represents the four directions of the world. This means unlimited. The seichel, the mentality of the person, is beli gvul, without any limits. Not like the physical aspect of persons. And this was this nation. Alexander Mukdan, Alexander the Great, who was the original king of this nation. He went to conquer the world in all four directions, and he would not rest until he fulfilled this task. This was a symbol of this seichel, this mentality. Now, it is amazing, if we look into history, what the wisdom of the Greek Empire achieved for themselves and for the world. We don't remember too much, because the Greek Empire is basically dust today. They were taken over by the Roman Empire. And that's the empire which we live, that's Western culture. But this nation were the forerunners in an enormous amount of undertakings, which became the cornerstone for the wisdoms of modern day man in the fields of science, in medicine, in mathematics. You have such sciences which are called geography, geometry, geology. The word geo is a Greek word. It actually means earth in Greek. And they're named, they have Greek names because it was this nation that became the founders of these studies. Aristotle was one of their great scientists and their great philosophers. Aristotle and his colleagues were bringing scientific proofs and logical proofs that the world was round. Some 1500 years before it became the popular version. And the Rambam writes of the greatness of the mind of Aristotle. The father of modern day medicine is still known as Hippocrates. And to give an example, I read recently where 2500 years ago Hippocrates was the first man to identify cancer. And the word cancer is a follow-up of the Greek term which he called it. And he was the first one to expand on in a medical format of diet of a person. And the word diet is a follow-up on the Greek term which he gave it. The fact is, writers write that it's amazing that so much has changed in 2500 years, but still many of our basic textbooks for science and medicine and math are still basically the formulas that the Greeks set up. But this wasn't the only field that they excelled in. There was architecture and engineering. When it comes to Greek architecture, this is something that the world is still amazed at. The fact is, it was always the custom of the modern world that if we would build a place of learning, a museum or a university or something like that, it would follow Greek architecture because they were the symbols of wisdom in the world. Their engineering and their architecture were so perfect and so beautiful that I was once told by an architect that when they designed their columns of their buildings, when you look at it from a distance, because of light waves, the column will not look perfectly straight. They took this into consideration when they designed it in order that it should look perfectly straight, and he said, this is something we cannot do today. Philosophy, that was Aristotle and his colleagues. When it came to the arts, to sculptures, their achievements are still famous. Their writings. And even in sport, the Olympics are full of Greek names. The marathon, javelin, the Olympics itself, these are all from the original Greek names, But to them this was not a sport like Western culture. This was not something of fun to them, or this was not something merely of competition, but this was a quest of perfection. They were blessed with an enormous intellect and an enormous motivation for wisdom. I once read that one of their great scientists who discovered a geometrical principle, while it occurred to him while he was in the bathhouse, became so excited about it that he ran out of the bathhouse back to his laboratory, forgetting to put on any clothing. Now it's hard for us to comprehend all of this, because today we don't live in generations that seek wisdom. The Romans destroyed the Greek Empire, and the Romans were different. They weren't interested in wisdom, and they weren't interested in perfection, in perfection. They weren't interested in beauty. They were materialistic, the sages tell us. They wanted to get the job done the fastest way, the cheapest way, and in which the way they could amass the greatest money. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah. They built great marketplaces, and they built great roads, but this was all for what they could get out of it. We live in a civilization that only knows how to exploit. Exploitation for one's own benefit. Not perfection and not masterpieces, not beauty, and not ultimate in wisdom, but exploitation for one's own experience. So-called professionalism, what's in it for us? Mass production. This is the civilization we live in today. So it's beyond us that there even could have been a nation like the ancient Greeks. I once saw in a history lesson where they found that the Roman ruins were copied after the Greek ruins. But there was a basic difference, that while the Greek ruins were made of pure marble, the Romans were made of stone and just faced with marble. This was the difference of the civilizations of it. This is a very important point, because I remember once hearing from the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Zichrein Lebracha, Ramotka Katz, that when he came to America, and America was very, very heavy into exploitation, he said, how can someone study Torah, how can someone become great in Torah, if there is no desire for wisdom? Torah is the wisdom of all wisdoms. If a person has a desire for chokhmah, for wisdom, he'll pursue Torah. But when he came to America, he saw there's no desire for any wisdom here. Everybody's only interested in what he can gain from it. If he can sell it, it's good. If he can package it, it's good. If he can manufacture it and market it, it's good. But if he cannot, then there's no use for it. So there's no desire for wisdom whatsoever. So how can there be a desire for Torah when Torah is the mother of all wisdoms? It's a very important point. So for us to comprehend that there was such a nation is very difficult for us. The fact is, Torah Hazi, if you'll want to see the difference, we have today what is called Olympics. Give it the same names as the ancient Greeks did. In those days, still there's a rule in the Olympics that a professional cannot compete. It's amateur. In those days, they dedicated their sons to the Olympics
to perfect themselves to such a height of perfection where they dedicated them for life. Today, the Olympics, it's estimated that perhaps 50%, 60%, 70% of all of those that compete, maybe the figures are wrong, maybe it's 30, 40%, are all taking drugs, illegal drugs, in order to give them abnormal amounts of bursts of energy in order to win the sport. Two things we see from there: what the Roman civilization was, and secondly, but they still want to call it the Olympics. Why don't they call it something else? They're still trying to emulate that empire, but with a false front. But at any rate, this was the Greek Empire. They were given a brocha of chokhmah. And when we speak of chokhmah, we're speaking of chokhmah, of wisdom that today we have no comprehension from. Can you imagine principles in science and mathematics that were developed 2,500 years ago are still being used today, with all of the technology that has come to the world since then? And they did not have the technology and the instruments that we have today. Now, where did this nation get this from? It's interesting. This was from a brocha of Noach. The Torah tells us in Parshas Noach, Tes, Posuk Yud Ches, Vayuvenei Noach Hayetzi Min HaTeva Shem V'Chom V'Yofes. That when Noach came out of the ark after the flood, he had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yofes. Noach drank some wine, he fell asleep in the tent, and Chom, one of the sons, the father of Canaan, saw his nakedness, and he told the other two brothers outside, and the Chazal say he committed an Aveira with his father. Vayikach Shem v'Yefes, and Shem and Yefes took a garment, and they put it on their shoulders, and they walked backwards into the tent to cover the nakedness of the father, and they did not turn around, and therefore the nakedness of the father they did not see. Now it says that Shem and Yefes, it says Vayikach, Vayichu Engsi Vel Vayikach. Shem was the one who took it, and Yefes followed him. When Noach woke up and he realized what took place, he did three things. First, he cursed Chom and Canaan. Oru Canaan, you will be slaves to your brothers. Then he blessed Shem. And he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, V'Kanan Evelomai. He blessed Shem. And he said that Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, the God of Shem. From Shem comes Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Comes Israel. And then to Yefes he said, Yaftelekim le Yefes, Yishkan Baal Shem. He gave Yefes also a brocha. And that brocha was Yaft. Rashi says Yaft means Yarchiv. He brings from the Targum. Yarchiv means great. So he told Yefes, you will become great. But the word Yaft also has in it the word Yofe, beauty. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah states as follows. And Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara is discussing that when you write a Sefer Torah, what language must it be written in? Reb Shimon Gamliel Aimer, Af Bisforim Leitiru Sheyichtuvu El Yevonis. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel says that
a Sefer Torah you can write either in Hebrew, in Loshon HaKodesh, or in Greek, in no other language. Either Hebrew or Greek. The Gemara brings in Tesom at Beis, Omar Rababu Amar Rabbi Yechanan Halocha Kirbishim Gamlil. This is the Halocha. The Halocha is that a kosher Sefer Torah can be written in only one of two languages, Loshon HaKodesh Hebrew or Greek. The Gemara says, my time with Rabshim Gamlil. What's the reason of Rabshim Gamlil? We can understand Loshon HaKodesh, but why Greek? Omakra, because it states, Yafte Lekim Leyefesh V'yishkoin Ba'aleshem. Nayach said to his son Yefes. Now Yovan, one of the descendants, one of the sons of Yefes, was Yovan, the father of the Greek Empire. So he said to him, Yafte Lekim Leyefesh V'yishkoin Ba'aleshem. Hashem shall give him greatness, and he shall be able to dwell in the tents of shame. Dvorav shall Yefes, the words of Yefes, shall dwell by shame. From shame came Israel. The words of Yefes shall dwell by shame. So from here we learn that his language can dwell by shame. So the Gemara says, but what is the proof that it refers to this one son of Yefes? Yefes had many sons. He had Gamer, Mogeg. Who says it refers to this one son of Yefes? Yovan? So the Gemara says, Yaf Yusei Shel Yefes Ye Behol Eshev. The beauty of Yefes shall be able to dwell by shame. And the Rashi says the greatest beauty that came out of Yefes was Yovan and the language of Yovan. Because the Greek language was held as the most beautiful and perfect language of all of the 70 languages of the world. Loshon HaKodesh, that's something else, that's a spiritual language. But all of the physical languages of the world, the Greek language was held as the most beautiful. Rabbi Nechananel says a little further, Mimivchar bonav shel Yefes, v'hiksivas Yovan yibol eshem shem b'nei Yisrael. That Noach blessed Yefes, and he said, your greatest son shall be able to dwell by the greatest son of shem. Who was the greatest son of Yefes? That was Yovan. From him came the Greek Empire. Who was the greatest son of shem? That was Yisrael. So therefore, he says that the Torah can be written in their language. Actually, the Rambam writes, in Hilchis Tfilin, Perek Alef Halocha Yutes, Ein Keisrin Tfilin U Mezuzah El Biksav Ashurish. Tfilin and Mezuzahs must be written only in Hebrew. A Sefer Torah can be written in Hebrew or in Greek. But the original Greek language is already forgotten from the world. And it's become totally, it's full of errors today. It's not the original Greek language. Therefore today we can only write Tefillin, Mezuzahs, and Sefer Torah in Hebrew, because the Greek language in its origin has become forgotten. But in principle, we would be allowed to write a Sefer Torah in Greek. Now, so from here we see further. Firstly, we see from here that this is where they received this source to become such Chachomim, such wise people. This came from the brocha of Nayach. When Nayach said, Yaft Elekim Li Yefes, the Yishkein Baal Hashem, that let Yefes have this greatness, and let Yefes have this beauty. And this he was particularly referring to the son of Yefes, Yovan. This brocha worked. And from here came out the wisest of all nations. That's firstly what we see. Secondly, we see that so great their wisdom was that they had an identification with Torah. The Torah can be written only in Lashon HaKodesh, only in Hebrew, or in Yevamish, or in Greek. What was their identification? The identification was the wisdom. Torah is the greatest of all wisdoms. And this nation was the wisest of all of the 70 nations. Therefore there was a link. And we find this. We find in the Chazal tell us that the king of Greece once came to the sages who biksu lichteves haTorah. He wanted them to write a Torah in Greek for them. They wanted it. And we find also that this nation, before they became totally distorted, they honored Torah. The Medrash tells us in Vayikra Rabba, Yud Gimel Hey, Alexandrus Mukten, Karhavachomi Lerib Shimon HaTzadik, Alexander the Great, when he used to see the great Shimon HaTzadik, he used to stand up and he would say, Boruch Hashem Elokei Shel Shimon HaTzadik, blessed is the God of Shimon HaTzadik. They that understood wisdom so well, and that were associated with wisdom so closely, were able to have great respect for Torah v'chachomel and its wise ones. Now, and therefore, Doniel, when he saw the symbol of this nation, he saw the symbol of this wisdom. Now the question is, if this is the case, so what happened to them? And why did they rise up against Israel? And why did they come against the Beis Hamikdash? And also the Medrash that we quoted at the beginning states, Hishchichu Eseinehem Shel Yisrael, they blackened the eyes of Yisrael with their decrees. Actually, wisdom is a light. Why were they called Cheshech? They are learned from the word in the Torah that states darkness. This was their mistake. The mistake was is that there's a basic difference between the wisdom of this world and Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of the Torah. The wisdom of this world is within the confines of this world. It's a natural wisdom, but therefore it's limited to the natural world. Torah does not come from this world. Torah comes from a world beyond this. The wisdoms of this world are whole, are secular wisdoms. Very, very great, but secular. They're the physical wisdoms of the physical world. The wisdom of Torah is kadosh, is sacred. The sages tell us as follows, Hareyeh chochme chachme ya'umais, that when you see an exceedingly wise man from the wise of the nations, then you must make a brocha on him. Wisdom is a brocha, it's a blessing. You must make a brocha to Hashem. What is the brocha? Boruch asher nosan chochmo, asher nosan me chochmosoi libosav adon. Blessed is he who has given from his wisdom to flesh and blood. Hareya chochme chachme Yisrael, but when you see a wise man of the wise of Israel, you make a different brocha. What is that brocha? Boruch shecholat mechochmosei lirei ov. Blessed is he who has imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. So we see two distinctions. When it comes to the wise of the world, you say, Asher Nosan Mechok Mosai. He has given them wisdom. When it comes to the wise of Israel, we say, Sheholat Mechok Mosai. He has imparted from his wisdom. This means the wisdom which is given to the nations of the world is given and is not from Hashem himself. The wisdom of Torah which is given to Israel, that's cholak mechokmosei. Cholak means that he divides, he imparts. It never removes itself from Israel, from Hashem. It's part of Hashem himself. To uraiso ukuchi bricho chadhu. The Torah and Hashem is one. The wisdom of geometry and geology, that's a wisdom that Hashem gives to people. The wisdom of Torah, he doesn't give that to people because that's part of he himself. Therefore, Asher cholak mechokmosei, he imparts part of himself to others. That's one distinction. A second distinction, it states, the wisdom of the world he gives to flesh and blood. The wisdom of his Torah, who does he give to? Lirei'ov, to those who fear him. You can become the wisest of the world. You don't have to fear Hashem. Scientists and doctors and artists and musicians, the greatest in the world, but they don't have to fear Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives that brocha to even those who don't fear him. But great in Torah is only lirei'ov, to those who fear him, to his servants. The Greek Empire, because of their tremendous affinity to wisdom, wanted all of the wisdom. And they wanted Yisrael's wisdom also. They wanted Torah also. And if they could not get Torah, then they wanted to destroy it from Israel. Each of these empires were a king. And each one wanted to rule. And this empire was not interested in other things. They were interested in wisdom. And therefore they were interested in the crown of the wisdom. And that was Torah. And when they saw Israel had this, and they didn't have it, and they couldn't have it, then they rose up against Israel to take it away from them and to destroy them. And the sages tell us that it states in Echo Rabo, in Echo, in the Medrash Echo, Bezhud Gimel Malcho Visoreo Bagayim Ein Torah, that im Yemar Odom Yesh Chochma Bagoyim Tamim, that if somebody tells you there's wisdom in the nations, believe them. There is great wisdom amongst the nations. But if someone will tell you Yesh Torah Bagoyim, that there is Torah by the nations, Al Tamim, don't believe them. She'ein Torah El Yisrael, because Torah was given to Israel and no one else. And therefore the Greek Empire rose up against Klal Yisrael. They were not interested to steal from them. They were not interested to destroy them. Their concern was their Torah. And this is why in the Alanisim we say, La'hashkicho miteresecho, la'aviro mechukei ratzonecho. They were not like Homan that was interested, la'hashmi, la'harig, la'abe, to destroy them physically. They were only interested to take the Torah away from them, to drive them away from the Torah. The fact is, had Israel assimilated and become part of the Greek culture, become part of the Greek wisdoms, become part of the Hellenistic civilization, and given up their Torah, they would have been very happy to co-opt them as a member nation of their civilization. The fight was is because they were not. Therefore they rose up against them. Now, if wisdom comes from this world, then this means that it was created together with the 6 days of Malocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. And he created all of the natural wisdoms. On the seventh day, he made a Shabbos. So that's a new dimension to the world. Then we find that eight refers to Torah. For example, it states, 7 weeks you shall count, and on the after the 7 weeks, the Torah will be given. Torah represents a level of eight. Why? Because it's not from this world. It's not from the physical world that was made during the 6 days, and it's not even from the world with Shabbos. But it comes from beyond that, Torah and mitzvahs. It's a dimension of eight. In the Beis HaMikdash, you had your Heichel, your Kodesh, and that's where the menorah was, and then you went further in, and you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the Holy of Holies. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim was Ein Ba'orein Rak Luchei Sabris, was just the Orin HaKodesh with the Sefer Torah and the tablets. Only the Kohen Godel was allowed to go there. The Kohen Godel, the high priest, he was the only one who would wear eight garments. All of the other Kohanim would wear four. He was the only one that would wear eight. And he was only allowed, the only one allowed to go there, because that already was the domain of Torah. And the Medrash says that Bezeis Yovei Aaron al HaKodesh, that Aaron should come to the Kodesh. It's referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It states Bishchus HaMilo, with the merit of the Bris Milo, because the Bris Milo also was on eight, on the eighth day. This comes not from the nature, because according to nature, man is born uncircumcised. But this is a mitzvah which was given from above and beyond the nature, and how to improve it. This is the level of Torah. When the Greek Empire, with all of their strength, rose up against Klal Yisrael, they went for the Beis HaMikdash. They were not interested to burn down the Beis HaMikdash, like the Romans or Babylonians. They were interested, itimu, to cause impurity to the Beis HaMikdash, because they saw this distinction. They saw here they were the wisest in the world. They knew science and medicine and astronomy and engineering and arts and cultures and philosophy. But they saw that when it came to Kedushas HaChochmah, to the sanctity of wisdoms, that was by Yisrael. They understood this. Im yesh chochmah b'goyim tamim. Wisdom is by the nations, but Torah is only by Yisrael. And therefore they rose up to destroy the sanctity of Klal Yisrael. They could not tolerate that there should be a force higher in wisdom than they are. They stood up to destroy the sanctity of Yisrael. Therefore they weren't interested in physically destroying the Beis HaMikdash. They were interested to vitimo es kol hashmonim, to cause impurity to the Beis HaMikdash, to take this mile, this level away from Klal Yisrael. And therefore they caused impurity to all of the oils. And oil they understood also, because the Gemara tells us that shemen was used to be machanech. Shemen oil was used to give kedusha, to give sacredness to everything new in the Beis Hamikdash. And the oil which was used for the lights, the light always represents the light of Torah. But they only got as far as the Hechel. They only got as far as the first chamber of the Beis Hamikdash. To the innermost chamber, they did not get. There they couldn't reach, because that's already the level of Torah, and that far they could not reach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave strength to Matisyahu and his family, who said that no matter what anyone else does, we will not forsake the God and the Torah of our fathers. And they went to war. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them strength to overcome, physically overcome the Greeks and to drive them out. And now he wanted to show the source of this miracle. And the source of the miracle that Israel was able to destroy this empire was the level of Torah over secular wisdom. And therefore he brought this miracle from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Torah is, the innermost chamber, that remained pure. And that was the source. The Medrash tells us that the Oren, which held the Sefer Torah, was called Oren from the name Or, because it's all light. And if the source came from there, then it has to be a source at the level of 8. Because Torah comes from beyond this world. Not from the 6 days of Malocha of work, and not even from the 7th day, but from beyond this world. And therefore, when the miracle manifested itself in the menorah is the oil and the light, which represents Kedusha, sacredness, it had to manifest itself for 8 days. Because this was not the regular mitzvah of the menorah, but this was coming from the source of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the level of Israel over Yovan, the Greek Empire. Now they were made one error, and this was a fatal error for them. When Noach gave the brocha to Yefes, why did he bench him? Why did he bless him? Because it states, Vayikach Shem vayefes es asimlo. Shem and Yefes took the garment and they went to cover up their father. Vayikul leksi. It doesn't say they took, it says he took. Shem is the one who took Nisamech b'mitzvahs, and Yefes followed him. Shem said, let's go cover our father. And he started to go, and Yefes said, it's a good idea, and he followed him. So Yefes worked in support of Shem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he made it perfect, he made all of the forces in the world to work in support of Torah. And Yovan, who represented the superior wisdoms of the world, that of physical beauty and perfection in every area, Noah gave them a brocha that they should excel in that and continue to follow Shem to bring ultimate perfection to the world at all levels. And therefore he said, Yaftelekim leyefes v'yishkin bo'alei Shem. You also can dwell in the tent of Shem. You with your strengths also have a place in the tent of Shem. Because wisdom is the greatest support for Torah. All of Torah's judgments are based on natural wisdoms. And therefore, Af HaTorah, Hitiru Lichtav Yevodis. Therefore, the Sefer Torah can be written in Greek. But instead, the descendant of Yefis didn't do that. Instead of acting as a support to Shem and dwelling there, he turned around and went up against Israel and went up against the Beis HaMikdash. Here's wisdom. And wisdom is a light which was supposed to give light to the world, was used to extinguish the light of all lights, that of Torah. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and there was darkness in the beginning of the world, the Chazal say this is the Greek Empire. Shehechshichu einehem shel Yisrael, instead of bringing light to the world, they brought darkness to the world because they wanted to extinguish the light of Yisrael, the light of the Beis HaMikdash, and the light of Torah. This was their mistake, and it was a fatal one. It was a fatal one because today we have, they are dust. We have very little left of them. They could have become a forerunner of Klal Yisrael. They could have become a support of Klal Yisrael to the point where even the Sefer Torah would have been allowed to be written in their language. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this miracle, and he made it with light to show that the source of light in this world, the source of physical light in this world, comes from another world, and that's Torah. The Medrash tells us, where did light come into this world? From the place where the Beis HaMikdash is built. It was light of the other world that brought light into this world. And to celebrate this miracle, which took place, we continue to burn these lights every year in order to legales ulaidias anes, to show the miracle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. That we should realize that wisdom is an immense brocha which was given to the world if it's used properly. But the guiding light of all wisdoms must be the greatest wisdom. And that's a wisdom which is part of Hashem Himself, which He imparts to those who fear Him. And that will always reign. That will always excel. And this was the miracle of Hanukkah. We should be zeicha to see the light of the wisdom of Torah grow in the world, to give direction to an entire world until the days of the Mashiach b'mheirah b'yameinu.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.